In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing in volume 19, 1926. And Jesus says that we have to know these truths. We have to know the knowledges. He says, you must know, love, and possess this gift. Okay, so one of the things that Jesus is saying is knowledge is not enough if one does not possess the good which that very knowledge contains. So the Lord is saying, we have to begin to see this from a divine perspective. If you are seeing it from a human perspective, Jesus says, you'll be filled with confusion, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And he says that the knowledge is not enough if you don't possess the good. So he says, if it were not so, knowledge would render you unhappy because knowing the good and not possessing it is always a sorrow. More so since I, God, do not know how to leave things half done, but only fully complete. Therefore, first, I dispose the soul. So that's the first thing that God has done with us. He's disposed our soul. He's allowed us to be Catholic, baptized Catholic. He's allowed us to take Mary as our mother. He's disposing us. He's allowed us to go to Holy Mass, receive Holy Communion, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And he tells us that the reason I give you the Holy Eucharist is to prepare you for what's to come. What's to come is right now when we receive Holy Communion, you receive Holy Communion, the Mass ends. We get the final blessing, the Mass ends. And it's a time, this is what God is asking, that we be disposed to adore him, love him, praise him, thank him, bless him, worship him for that those 15 minutes. He says Jesus is with us in a mystical way, a real presence of Jesus for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. That's why the Holy Mass ends right after the final blessing, right after receiving Holy Communion. The Holy Church does not want to interfere with your communion with Jesus. So what are we supposed to discipline ourselves to do? I don't care if the whole church is into fellowship. You're there to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God and to worship God for that 15 minutes. If you can't spend 15 minutes adoring God after receiving him in Holy Communion, how can you possibly spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament? What do you do for an hour? How do you fall in love with Jesus if you don't discipline yourself when you receive Holy Communion? That's exactly what Pope St. John Paul II said. He says to fall in love with our prisoner, our Eucharistic prisoner in the tabernacle, he says you must spend time with Jesus. And that's why he said, I want Eucharistic adoration in every parish. Do we find it in every parish? See, Jesus says, through the Holy Father, I want you to spend time with me. So he says, first I dispose the soul. If the soul says, yes, I want this, then I expand her capacity. Okay. Once he says, do you want to be with me? Do you want to spend time with me? Once we say yes, once we say fiat, he expands her capacity. And then Jesus says, excuse me. I give the knowledge together with the good that the knowledge contains. So he fills us to overflowing. And he says, and since the knowledge is about my divine will, our divine, this is the why the soul's nature remains endowed with the likeness of the divine nature. And more than a daughter, the soul does not wait for a command, but without being told, feels honored to do what her father wants. A lot of people say to me, well, God didn't say anything to me. He's the Word. Jesus is always speaking. He is the Word of God. If you can't hear him, it's because you're not spending time with him. For example, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been talking to a lot of people over these last 2 years. And most people didn't hear the Holy Spirit. If we listen to what the Holy Spirit is asking of us, we would be entering into this abundant life. Jesus is speaking. He needs us to hear him. So what has he done? He's given us the book of heaven. Everything that he says to Louisa, he's now saying to us. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus want? It's very, very clear. He wants us to be aware of the time that we're living in. He wants us to recognize what he, the Lord God Almighty, is asking of us. And it's nothing less than entering into divinity. To be, as St. Peter says, we are called to be divinized. As the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Knowledge is there, but you have to begin to possess it. And that's where you sit down and discuss this with Jesus. Jesus, this is what you told Louisa. This is what you're telling me. Lord, I give my fiat. See, this isn't just a novel to read. It's a dialogue between Jesus and Louisa, Louisa and Jesus, and now between Jesus and us with Jesus. I told you about that one time. I usually, when God says something, I read, how did Louisa respond? And Jesus said to Louisa, what do you want? And I said, I'm going to answer this question. I'm not going to read what Louisa said. I said, I want to be good. I want to be holy. I want to be saintly. I want to live in the divine will. I want the kingdom to be established on earth as heaven. I want. And then I read Louisa. And Louisa said, all I want is you, Jesus. That should be our voice. All I want is you, Jesus. Volume 19. 9:13, 19:26. Does it seem trivial to you to place a divine will at mankind's disposal, at our disposal, with all the good that it contains given to us? Does it seem trivial to you, Jesus says? And not for 1 hour, nor for 1 day, but for your entire life? The Creator is placing his adorable divine will in the creature to be able to put his divine likeness in the creature, his divine beauty in the creature, his infinite seas of riches in the creature, his divine joys in the creature, his endless happiness in common with the creature, with us. Do you think that's trivial, Jesus says? Only by possessing our divine will could the soul acquire the rights of communion, the rights of likenesses, and of all the goods of his creator. And without the divine will, there could be no communion with us. And if he takes anything at all, it is just our flowering and the crumbs of our endless goods. That's basically what we have been doing to this point. God has been offering us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. And we have just been scraping the crumbs off the table. Maybe I told you the story of my friend who went to Africa, and she came back, and she's a nun, and she came back, and she was, where we're talking, and she's, we're talking, and she's collecting crumbs on the table. And with her finger, she's eating the crumbs. And I must have looked like in shock, like, what are you doing? And she stopped and she said, oh, I'm so sorry. She says, we waste nothing. We had no food in Africa. We had nothing. And here it helped me understand, Jesus wants us to waste nothing. How much food do you throw out? How much food in your refrigerator is ruined? There are people that have nothing. And we don't even think about them. But what that should do is should make us be aware of food is a gift that God has given to us. And don't waste it. He said, collect all the baskets. What did you, how many should you collect? 12 baskets full of fragments. God goes, good. Let nothing go to waste. See, God's trying to perfect us. He's trying to help us understand. He says, to enter, not just to take the crumbs, but to have this divine celebration of this gift of the divine will. So Jesus says this, now with a gift so great and a happiness so immense, a right of divine likeness with the acquisition of the divine nobility of our offspring that has been rejected by Adam. Do you think it is something easy that the divine sovereignty, without being prayed, without being asked, with no one giving a thought to receiving this kingdom of the supreme fiat, would give it again back to creatures? Do you think it's trivial? It would be like repeating the story that took place in the terrestrial Eden, maybe even worse. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving this to you. And he says, don't lose this again. Turn back to me, Jesus says. Turn back to my church, Jesus says. I've got great things to give to the world. Everything is going to be given back. And even more so, overflowing. Volume 20, 9:17, 1926. My divine will, giving man supremacy over all the works of our hands and wanting to show off even more with humanity, more in love, gave him the office to grow continuously in divine beauty, divine sanctity, in divine wisdom, in divine richness, to the point of raising him to the likeness of his God. Do you see what God is doing? Remember Lazarus. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He rose that young boy on the stretcher, being carried out, the only son of a widowed mother. And Jesus said, as I pitied her and pitied him, I touched the litter and he came back to life. Jesus says, this is what I'm going to do with humanity. I'm going to bring them back to where they originally are supposed to be, full of divine life. I'm going to raise all of humanity back. And he goes, who would not want this? So Jesus is looking at us and he says, would you stand in the breach for everybody else? Would you be willing to say yes? He says very, very clearly, always provided, however, that the soul would let himself be dominated and guided to give the supreme fiat free field in us, this dirt, in order to form its divine life back in mankind so as to be able to form this continuous growth of good, of beauty, with happiness without end. That's heaven on earth. Are you willing to do this? Jesus says. He says, if you are, then read the book of heaven. Study the book of heaven. And what I like, I like the calendar every day to sit down with Jesus and to listen to him with my heart, my mind, and soul is a delight that you can't find any place else. It's Jesus speaking to us. He's asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? And when we say yes, he goes, okay, I'll teach you more. I'll expand your capacity to understand more. And the more that we read these knowledges, these truths, the more that we possess these knowledges, these truths, the more it reigns in us on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 20. 9:26, 26. The soul who possesses my divine will by virtue of the divine will acquires by right all the goods that this fiat possesses. It's unending. As much as you want or as little as you want. You can have it all, Jesus says. He says to Louisa, take as much as you can. And she says, everything's falling out of my hands. He goes, good. He says, I want you to get more and more and more of this. That's why he says, you acquire the right of all the goods that the fiat possesses. Therefore, the soul acquires the right to the likeness of her God. The soul acquires the right to divine sanctity. The soul acquires the right to God's divine goodness, to God's divine love. And by right, heaven and earth are hers because all came into existence from this fiat of God. So he's saying, I want you to enter into the fiat again, the divine fiat of God, to possess everything that I have created for you, for you, Jesus says. The whole universe for you. It's all yours. By 20, 10, 9, 1926, your acts fused, dissolved in my divine will, shall form the special sun, which must illuminate a kingdom so holy. This sun, this S-U-N, shall possess the creative virtue. As it extends its rays, it shall leave the mark of its divine sanctity, of divine goodness, of divine light, of divine beauty, and of divine likeness. Those who shall let themselves be illuminated by this divine light shall feel the divine power of a new continuous creation of divine joy, of divine contentments, and of divine goods without end. Jesus says, I want to give you my joy, my divine joy, so that your joy may be complete. God is answering. He's answering us way, way beyond what we ever could imagine. And all he's asking us to do is, like we read earlier, to read and then be silent. Meditate on what Jesus taught you. Learn what this is about. Enter into this gift. He's going to tell you things that he can tell no one else because of who you are. Your uniqueness is so important to God. You have a different irises, different fingerprints, different sizes, shapes, voices, colors, everything. Why? He loves our uniqueness. And he says, I will make of every one of my children a divine masterpiece. He's going to do this. All we have to do is say fiat and get out of his way. So we read, we study, we meditate, put it into practice. 520, 10, 29, 19, 26. Everything was divine order in Adam because our divine will brought Adam the order of his God. It rendered Adam divinely happy. It made Adam grow in our divine likeness. And according to our words, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Each one of Adam's acts done in the unity of the light of the supreme fiat was a tint of the divine beauty that he acquired. Each word of Adam was one more harmonious note that resounded. Everything was love in Adam. In everything, Adam sang the praises of our glory, praises of our power, praises of our infinite wisdom. And everything in heaven, the sun, the earth, brought Adam the divine joys, the divine happiness, the divine love of the one triune God who had created him. That has to become our life now. When we do our rounds in creation, rounds in redemption, rounds in sanctification, this is how we're to live. It's explained very, very clearly to enter into the joy. Now remember, St. Francis of Assisi said, if you are not joy-filled when you're praying, you are not praying. Ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. Learn the command prayer. I think the command, we did the command prayer, I think it's in August of 2004, where we went through all the volumes where Jesus says to Louisa, this is how you are to pray. This command is how you are to pray. And if you go to divinewill.org, I think it's there. And if you go to divinewill.life, I think it's there as well. It's to begin to understand how to live this abundant life. This is the prayer. When you learn the command prayer, Jesus says, ask, believe that you receive it as yours. He says, When the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. That, to me, is the book of heaven. And when you learn more about Louisa, you'll understand how this great gift of the divine will, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is going to come upon the earth. It's a glorious time to be alive. And whatever you do, don't limit God. I know a lot of people say, I don't know about that. God goes, fine, I can't give it to you. I don't know if about, raising from the dead. God goes, I can't give it to you. See, it's to say to Jesus, fiat, whatever you want. Our Lady did this. Fiat mihi. Let it be done. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you wish, as you want. Volume 20, 11, 6, 1926. My daughter, the one who lives in my divine will, lives in the unity of her creator, who keeps within himself this divine unity of the whole of creation. And just as God keeps the creation, so does he keep in his divine unity the soul who lives in our eternal fiat. We belong to him. Let go, that thing, let go and let God. Let go and embrace God. Embrace God. Don't be far from him. And this is why the sacraments and sacramentals are so essential for us. Be in the state of grace if you want God. And you can be in the state of grace by making a good confession. And confess. In this unity brings the soul all the reflections of her God, as well as the unity of all creation, in such a way that the living image of the one triune God who created her can be seen in that soul. And by maintenance, his unity with everyone and everything keeps the soul in the reflections of all the things created by God. And these reflections form the sea, form the sun, form the heavens, form the stars, and all the enchanting varieties of nature in the depth of our soul, because everything belongs to us. All creation belongs to us. Fuse yourself with creation. After fusing yourself with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, after fusing yourself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, as you're fusing yourself to creation, redemption, and sanctification, so that you can enter into the prime act of God, living in the divine will. Wait to see what God has planned. It's unending what he's going to give to his children. Volume 20, 11, 10, 1926. So around the Queen of Heaven and many empty places can be seen. Okay, many empty places can be seen. God is asking us to fill those places of heaven. These voids where the angels, the fallen angels used to stand, are for us, Jesus says. Our Lady wants to form her own choir. God wants Our Lady to form her own choir of angels. And he says, we can be in, even though we're human, we can take the place of those fallen ones to be around the throne of Mary. Jesus says, these empty places can be seen that can be occupied by no one else but her copies. That's us in the divine will. And since Our Lady was the first from the generation of my divine will, the kingdom of the fiat also can be called the kingdom of the Virgin Mary. Oh, how sovereignty over all creation shall be recognized in these children of ours, who are copies of Jesus, copies of Mary. That's the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. In fact, by virtue of my divine will, these souls shall enjoy indissoluble bonds with all created things. They shall be in continuous relations of communication with them, all that exists. These shall be the true children in whom the eternal creator shall feel honored, glorified to have them as his children, because he shall recognize in them his own divine will operating that has reproduced his true images. Don't limit God. Don't say, well, that's not for me. Then it's not for you. Jesus says, I want my children around my mother. I want the children of the divine will to have the highest place in heaven. Don't limit God. Oh, it's not for me. Well, it's not for you. You don't want it. You limit God. Well, I'm not good enough. Who's good enough? Jesus says, live in the divine will. Accept this invitation from Jesus himself, from the mother queen of heaven and earth herself, the new Adam and the new Eve. 5:20, 11:14, 19:26. My daughter, it takes much to sustain and preserve a divine will in the soul. Okay, so here is something that's important. Our life on earth is to live the life of heaven. This is why he says it takes much to sustain and preserve a divine will in the soul. And the divinity, knowing that the creator does not have equivalent things for a divine will so holy, holds nothing back. Everything is placed in the soul, at the soul's disposal, in order to form the divine sanctity of living in my most holy divine will. So God knows we can't do it. He says, I'll do it for you. That's our God. That's the generosity of our God. That's the generosity of our mother, Mary. I'll do it for you. Don't limit God. Don't limit God with your doubts. See, when you doubt, you say to the devil, I think you're right. I don't believe this. The devil's there. When you doubt, that's the devil. When you're joyful, when you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, saying, I don't understand it, but let it be done as you say. God goes, good, get out of my way. Watch what I'm going to do for you. You're my child, Jesus says. Watch what I'm going to do for you. And like a good father, he's going to surprise us with many, many delights, infinite delights. Jesus says this. He says, he holds nothing back. Everything is placed in the soul. Everything is placed at her disposal in order to form the divine sanctity of living in my divine will. Therefore, nothing shall you lack on the part of your Jesus. Nothing shall you lack. Believe that. More so since this is my desire from the beginning, from of old. I wanted this. I yearned for this. I longed for this for as long as 6,000 years. Now, wanting to see our image reproduced in the soul, our sanctity, divine sanctity impressed, our divine will operating, our works enclosed in the soul, and our fiat is then fulfilled. That's why he created us. He created us to be one with him, image and likeness. 5:20, 11:16, 19:26. The soul who lives in my divine will lives in the of the goods of her creator and his owner. And if she feels any need or desire, seeing herself in the midst of so many goods, is that of wanting to give her happiness and the goods of her great fortune to others. Okay, so Louisa sees this, her opulence. Louisa sees this in the midst of so many goods, of all this divinity that's around her, that wanting to give this happiness, this goods of her great fortune to others, she says, here, I want you to have it. Then Louisa says, I will pray that you receive what God has given to me. I want you to receive this gift as much as you want. I want to fill you. And that's why Jesus said to Louisa, you're the little mother of the little children of the holy divine will. You're going to feed them. You're going to nurture them. Just like my mother. Just like me, Jesus says. You're going to help give them the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is Louisa's job. And he's given it to us. He says very, very clearly, as the true image of our creator who has given so much to Louisa with no restriction at all, Louisa would want to imitate Jesus by giving to others what Luisa possesses. Oh, how much beauty is the heaven of the soul who lives in our divine will. It is the heaven with no storms, with no clouds, with no rain, because water that quenches her thirst, that fundicates her, that gives her growth and the likeness of the one who created her is my most holy divine will. We're being nurtured by the divine will of God. God wants us one with him, never to be separated from again. To be one with God, fused with God, never to be separated from him again. And he says, I want you to begin to live this life now. I want you to live heaven now, Jesus says. I want you to possess everything now, Jesus says. There's only one person that can get in your way, and that is yourself. No one can stop you from this. Not all the demons in hell can stop you from this. This is your divine nobility that God wants you to receive. Image and likeness of God. God wants to see this in you. But you have to be free to say fiat. Volume 20, 11, 20, 19, 26. My daughter Luisa, all things have a common continuous motion, having one come out of the supreme being who contains a motion full of life. And as a consequence, all things that came out of God were to contain the vital motion that never ceases. It's the waves of the shore. It's the I love you of the shore. The waves come in and say, I love you. We give back to God, I love you in your divine will. We breathe in the I love you. We breathe out, I love you in the divine will. It's the continuous motion, Jesus says. When you walk, when your heart beats, when you sing, when you dance, it's this continuous motion of I love you back to our triune God. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. I worship you. This is what we pray when we're in front of the monstrance. Looking at Jesus, not reading a book, looking at Jesus. Adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. This is our job. That's heaven on earth for the souls who found the secret, found the treasure. If it ceases, if the vital motion ceases, it means that life ceases. If you stop saying, I love you to God, it stops. Every heartbeat, every breath, that's our prevening act in the morning. See, you yourselves have a murmuring, a continuous motion in your interior. Even more, the divinity in creating the creature gave the soul the likeness of the three divine persons. It places in them three motions. There to murmur continuously, to unite themselves to the continuous motion of a murmuring love of their God. See, this is, you're getting a glimpse of how to spend your time in front of the Eucharist. To unite themselves to that continuous motion and murmuring of the love of their creator. These are the motion of the beating of the heart that never ceases. The blood circulating and always circulates without ever stopping. The breathing of the breath that never stops. These are the three things that are continuously going. Adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and blessing God. This is in the body, in the soul. Then there is the three more motions that can murmur continuously, your intellect, your memory, your will. Therefore, everything is in keeping your motion bound to this continuous motion of your creator in order to murmur together with his eternal motion, to be one with God. The sunrise, the sunset, the moon in the sky, the sun in the air, the clouds that are moving, the waves that are moving, your heartbeat, your breathing, your blood circulating within you. Bring it all one with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Begin to live this abundant life, image and likeness of God that Jesus possessed, that Mary possessed. My daughter, in creating the creature, we, triune God, were forming him, Adam, with our creative hands And we, Triune God, felt a divine joy, a contentment come out of our divine womb, because Adam was to serve to maintain our amusement on the face of the earth, our continuous feast. And so that Adam might maintain himself whole in our steps and our works, in the echo of our word and love and of the life of our image impressed in Adam, we, Triune God, gave Adam our divine will as his divine inheritance, that it might preserve him just as we had delivered him, so as to be able to continue our amusements, our affectionate kisses, our sweet conversations with the work of our hands. God's doing this. And God is asking us to give our fiat. What a great God we have. What a magnificent God we have. Psalm 20:12-19:28. By living in our divine fiat, the soul does nothing other than imitate her God, her creator. And in the eternal Son, consecrates all of its reflections upon her in such a way that she becomes the little sun, S-U-N, and in the likeness of the divine Son, S-U-N. Was this not precisely our divine purpose, our saying, let us make man in our image and likeness? To Adam, without his having to be like us and carry within himself the image of the one who had created him, would have neither been decorous nor worthy of a work of our hands, nor would it be power of that regenerative breath that came out of our womb to generate his being dissimilar from us. What would be said of a mother who generated not a child who had eyes, mouth, hands, and feet, would be similar to her in all members, at most smaller than her in all members, but lacking nothing of all the organs of the mother, but generated a plant, or generated a bird, or generated a stone, things that are dissimilar from her. It would be incredible, things against nature and unworthy of a mother who was not able to infuse her image and all of her members in her newborn. Now, if all things generated and formed things similar to themselves, much more so does God, the first generator, whose honor and glory in forming the creature was to form them as similar to himself. Therefore, my daughter, let your flight in my divine will be continuous, that it may concentrate its rays upon you, darting through you, and may make you one of its little son. God wants image and likeness from all of us. And he says, let your flight in my divine will be continuous, that it may concentrate its rays upon you, darting through you, and make of you its little son. God is so great, so loving, that he wants to give to us creatures his life, his light, his love. He wants us to participate in him. That's why the priest every day of Holy Mass, when he puts a drop of water in the chalice, says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Volume 20:12-10:19:26. Now, do you want to know who is the one who lets herself be dominated by this continuous act of my supreme will, and never giving life to her own, receives this continuous act of the life of the divine will in such a way as to form within herself a life fully divine and in the likeness of her creator? It was Mary, the celestial sovereign queen. From the very first instant of her immaculate conception, Mary received this act of life of divine will, to then receive it continuously during all her life. This was the greatest prodigy. This was the miracle never before seen, a life of the divine will in the Empress of Heaven. How much we love our Blessed Mother. Volume 20:12-12:19:26. In creating Adam, the uncreated wisdom acted as more than a loving mother, more than with a tunic. It clothed Adam with an unending light of my divine will. This is the divine nobility that God is clothing us with. He's going to clothe us with this divine nobility. Adam lost this. He was naked. Jesus says, I want to reclothe my children with my divine nobility. This is it. A garment that is not subject to being disarranged or divided or consumed. A garment that was to serve man in order to preserve the image of his creator and the gifts received from God that was to render him admirable and holy in all his things. That's going to be us. And Jesus is saying, I want you to live this life now. I want you to be holy in all things. That was the three promises to Abraham. The first promise to Abraham was to be freed from the enemy. When Jesus died on the cross, we were free from the devil. The second, free to worship God without fear. And each of us who goes to Holy Communion, each of us who genuflexes in front of the tabernacle, none of us are terrified. Why? Jesus is present. Jesus is there. And then the third promise to Abraham, as we pray this every morning in the Canticle of Zechariah, to be holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. This is what's coming to the earth. This new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II says. He's asking us to get ready for it now. Volume 20, 12, 22, 19, 26. Such are the signs that one belongs to the celestial family, to have the same purpose as mine, to want the same will, the divine will, to dwell in it as one's own home, to work in order to make it known. That's what we're doing. We're making this known to ourselves. Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want this. Who do you make it known to? Yourself. Read, study, put this into practice. Begin to live this life. He says, and if one speaks, one can say nothing but what is done and wanted in our celestial family. This is the creature that is recognized in clear notes and from all sides with reason and with divine justice and by right as daughter. This is Louisa, who belongs to us, triune God, one from our family. One who has not decayed from our origin, one who preserves within herself the image, the manners, the bearings, the life of her father, of the soul of the one God who created her. See, we're learning how to do this. We're learning from Louisa what Jesus and Mary gave to Louisa. What we're reading is treasure. Most people don't want to hear it. Most people criticize this. Most people ignore it. We're saying, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you would give me this gift of gifts. And then Jesus says, how much do you want it? How much do you want to study? How much do you want to live? Or do you want to go back to being like everybody else, worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, sinning? Do you want to begin to live this abundant life, Jesus says? Then come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. This is the book of heaven. It's glorious. It's a glorious time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. So we'll end there with this prayer. May the Lord bless us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.